A Century of Service, presented by the State University of Iowa. This year, the State University of Iowa has reached a landmark in the passage of time. On February 25th, the university became 100 years old. During the past 100 years, the university has passed many landmarks in the discovery of truth, the advancement of knowledge, and their wide dissemination among all the people. Landmarks which culminate in a century of service. This afternoon, the State University of Iowa presents the 8th in a series of programs commemorating its 100th birthday. Today, we invite you to listen to an original script about the College of Law and a man in the college many of you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, permit me to welcome you to the 1947 alumni banquet of the University of Iowa College of Law. We've just finished eating our 7 or 8 course dinner, which in either case was probably one course too many for my aging digestive tract. And now the time has come, as it must come in every banquet of every alumni association, for the master of ceremonies to introduce the after-dinner speaker. Well, tonight marks a violent and pleasant departure from the routine. While we shall have an after-dinner speaker of some note and wit, we shall not have to suffer through the set series of anecdotes and personal recollections. For tonight, our speaker will be a man whom we've all learned to know. And may I also say, a man we've all known to learn. An outstanding legal scholar and professor, two words not always synonymous, Professor Percy Boardwell. And of course, wherever there's Boardy, there's Casey at the back.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to do Casey at the Bat for such a wonderful audience. I know you've all heard it before, but the chairman of this banquet committee asked me to do it, and though I didn't make him sign a legal document to that effect with two witnesses, I'm certainly going to make him stick to his word. And so, without further ado, here's Casey. Well, the outlook wasn't very hopeful for the Mudville Nine that day. The score was Brooklyn 4, Mudville 2, with one inning left to play. And so, when Cooney died at first and Dean Ladd did the same, pallor wreathed the features of the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go, leaving there the rest.
Boardy still with got the punch he used to have, hasn't he?
It's more, if you ask me. Every time he does Casey, it gets more and more exciting and further and further away from the original.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
He certainly is, Bill. Mighty fine professor, too.
Makes me feel plenty old thinking about Boardy as my professor way back in law school.
None of us getting any younger, Bill. We'll just have to face the facts of the case. No denying that gray hair. Irrefutable Exhibit A.
Well, I guess Boardy's Exhibit B. Did you know he was retiring next spring?
No, is that right?
Yep.
I guess that'll be the end of Casey.
No one will ever be able to do it like he does, Dan. Do you remember the first time we heard him do it?
First time? Well, let's see. We started law school in 1916, and then... Why, it must have been at that mixer in the spring of 17.
Right. Would you like to try for 64?
It was one of the first mixers we'd ever had, wasn't it?
Yeah. Remember how badly it was going? The professors were standing in one corner of the room looking so high and mighty.
And all of us were over in the other corner griping and wishing we were any place else but there.
Well, not quite all of us. Don't forget the apple polishers we used to have. They couldn't pass up an opportunity like that and mix it, a fawn all over the prof.
I remember that tall, skinny fellow from Texas. He used to be in our contrast class, telling our prof how interesting his lectures were. And he used to sleep through every one of them.
That was one of the dullest evenings I've ever suffered through until Barty got up. I thought he was going to go into one of those long-winded speeches like the rest of the profs had done.
And then he launched into Casey. You know, I don't think we were ever so thankful for anything in our whole lives.
And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere. Somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing. Somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Well, this is what a mixer ought to be, Bill. Boy, he should have done that about an hour ago. It certainly cleared the air.
And we needed it, too, Dan. I thought the top was going to blow off the building in a few minutes. Everyone was sure on edge.
Well, I hope it teaches them a lesson for the next mixer.
Say, Dan, do you think we should go to speak to Professor Boardwell now about that matter we were discussing?
I don't know, but I suppose now's as good a time as any.
And let's go. He's over there near the door.
Okay.
Professor Boardwell. Professor Boardwell.
Oh, yes, Easton. What can I do for you?
Professor Boardwell, Dan and I wondered if we might speak to you for a moment.
Well, certainly. Let's step over here. It'll be less noisy.
Thank you, sir.
Now, what was it you wanted to speak to me about?
It's about the Army, sir.
What about the Army?
We'd like to join, sir.
We were thinking about enlisting.
Before the end of the semester?
Yes, sir. We believe we're needed now.
Oh, but you're more than halfway through your studies. The semester will be over in June. I'm sure that you'll be needed just as much then as you are now.
Yeah, but Colonel Mumma, the ROTC, said if we enlisted now, well, we could go to the first officer's training camp. By June, that quota might be filled.
I understand your eagerness and your patriotism, but I still believe it would be better for you to finish the semester before going in. With a good background in law, you might be able to get into the judge advocate's office.
Well, but if we go in now, Professor, we'll be all trained by summer, and we'll be able to go into action overseas.
If we wait until June, we might never get overseas.
Well, this is a decision you men must make for yourselves. However, I want you to think it over very carefully. Very carefully.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I'm afraid I'll have to leave now, but you men enjoy the mixer, and remember to think over what I've told you.
Well, we will, sir.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Well, what do you think, Dan?
I'm not sure. What he said was probably right about us being needed just as much in June as we are now. Guess there will be other training camps.
I guess so. Well, think about it tonight, and I'll meet you tomorrow in class.
Okay. Meet me in front of Old Capitol, and we'll go to Borty's law together.
Right. See you tomorrow, and see if you can get any more dope on whether there's going to be another... Sorry I'm late, Dan. Professor Walden gave us an exam, and I was stumped on the last question.
Oh, we'd better hurry over to class. You know how Borty likes students coming in the middle of a class.
All right. Say, did you decide about the Army business?
I think I'm going to join up. I talked to a lot of the fellas back of the house, and they're all joining up. How about you?
Guess I'm going to be seen in khaki soon myself.
Hey, that's swell. We can leave together.
What about Professor Boardwell? I think we ought to tell him today.
I guess we better. He'll understand. After all, how would we feel sitting around the campus and reading in the newspapers about the war? Wouldn't be right. He'll realize that.
I hope so. He certainly seemed against our enlisting yesterday.
Here we are. Let's hurry on inside. Hey, aren't those some of the fellas from the class walking down the street over there?
Yeah. It seems like the whole class. Well, there's Harry Gordon. Wonder what's up. Hey, Harry! Harry!
Yeah, what do you want?
Oh, we were just going to class and saw this mass exodus. What's happened?
Oh, didn't you hear about it?
Hear about what?
About Boardy.
What's the matter with him?
Oh, nothing. He just went and joined the Army.
Okay. Pick up your feet. You ain't ambling down Main Street. Yous is in the Army now. All right. Hold it up. Are there any college men in the platoon?
I'm a college graduate, Sergeant.
Well, good. Private Boardwell. Go back to the barracks, get your diploma, and police the A Company area. I don't want to see any cigarette butts on the ground when you're done. At ease. Where's our college man, Private Boardwell?
Over here, Sergeant.
Ah, good. I have a special assignment for you, Private Boardwell.
Oh, you want me to police the B Company area now?
Don't get smart, Private. Put on your ODs and then get down to division headquarters. You're supposed to report to General Plummer.
General Plummer?
You heard me on the double, and report back to the company area as soon as you're through.
Private Boardwell reporting to General Plummer as ordered, sir.
That is. Private Boardwell, I understand that you're acquainted with the subject of international law.
Yes, sir. I wrote a book on the subject a number of years ago, The Law of War. It was my doctorate dissertation at Columbia University.
I see.
I was teaching international law at the University of Iowa before I entered the service.
Yes, sir. We've been looking over your records, Private Boardwell. We have a few problems here with which we believe you can help us. Won't you sit down, please?
Thank you, sir.
I don't know whether you know it or not, but we're outfitting some medical units for duty overseas. Now, we were wondering just what arms these men are permitted to carry under the terms of the Geneva Conference.
Well, sir, under the terms of the conference, medical units are not permitted to carry any arms unless they are in imminent danger. Therefore, you couldn't equip them with arms here in the States.
But isn't there some way of getting around that?
Well, the only provision the Geneva Conference makes is that medical personnel can be armed if the enemy shows continual disregard for medical immunity.
Oh, I understand, Private Boardwell. But there's another problem that we've been bothered with.
Dan, over here, over here.
Oh, you old son of a gun. Man, it's sure good to see you again. Hey, you haven't changed a bit. Guess that artillery live was pretty soft.
You should talk. If it hadn't been for the artillery, where would your infantry be?
Enough, enough. Remind me to tell you someday how we won the war when we have more time.
You know, Dan, they were sure slow letting you out. I was beginning to think you liked those mademoiselles over there in France so well you'd signed over.
Well, to tell the truth, I was thinking about it. But when you wrote me that you were out and heading back to school, I'd better rush back to protect these fair and virtuous Iowa co-eds from your villainous clutches.
For your information, these co-eds don't need any protection. I haven't been able to get a date since I got back, and I've been here a week and a half.
Your reputation must have preceded you, else it's still lingering on from before you left.
Be careful how you talk to your superiors. Speak with a little more respect, or I won't let you wear my ties like you used to.
Hey, that reminds me, I don't have a place to stay yet.
You don't mean to tell me you think Brother Willie would let an old fellow law student sleep on a park bench, do you?
Knowing you? Yeah.
You just don't know how fortunate you are to have me for a buddy.
Maybe I am unappreciative, but get to the point. Do I or don't I have a place to sack in?
You, my boy, are going to have the unparalleled honor of rooming with me.
No.
Yes. Okay, you lazy buzzard. Up and at him.
Go away.
Come on, rise and shine.
Oh, I thought I got away from guys like you when the Army gave me my walking papers.
Hey, what's the matter with you? There ain't any classes today.
You have to get registered today.
Oh, they're open till 5. I'm going back to sleep.
Hey, look at this. Forty's coming back. He's out of the Army.
Who?
Professor Boardwell, our old law prof.
How do you know?
Well, it's right here in the Iowan. There's a whole column about him, about the work he did here and overseas. He was a major.
Yeah, I know. Harry Gordon met him in France. Said he was working on some international law problem.
I guess there's no rest for the educated. You think that writing a bunch of books and magazine articles on law would be enough. But no, a war comes along and Bordy has to make practical applications at the front.
Yeah, Bordy's a pretty important guy. You know, I had a short furlough in England right before I went over to France and I visited the law school at Oxford to see what it was like. Sat in on a class. You know what assignment the prof gave the class for the next day?
What?
3 articles by Bordwell in the Harvard and Iowa Law Reviews.
I didn't realize he was that well known.
You just don't keep up with the world of law, Bill.
Hey, but I wonder if Bordy ever got a chance to do Casey at the bat while he was in the Army.
I don't know, but Jimmy Wilson said Bordy was playing with his company's baseball team when they were over here in the States.
He and Jimmy getting along now? No, they weren't too friendly after Jimmy struck him out in a Fidel baseball game. Bordy carried a grudge for months.
Listen, Bordy would have carried that grudge longer than that if Jimmy had walked him intentionally just because he was a professor. But say, if Bordy's coming back this semester, we ought to go over to the dean's office and find out what courses he's going to teach.